Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm Mick Foley's long-lost son, Daniel Hummer, one of your hosts. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Well, I am actually Mentor's long-lost son. Yeah.
We're here with Stevie. How you doing, Steve?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain. We got a big one tonight, guys. The new generation tier rankings. A lot of people have been asking for this, mostly Doug. But we're going to be ranking the whole new generation roster, or as much as we can get into. And 93 to 97, WWF.
Right. For anybody that was tuning in tonight thinking that we were still going to do WrestleWar 89, we apologize, but a couple of our co-hosts are not here tonight. So we
decided to switch it up.
Yeah. And fuck, that show sucked anyway.
So that's what we're going to do. And first we're going to go for Doug with the plugs.
All right. Make sure you listen to Boxman Smart Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday, Friday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. 10:15, 10:20 Eastern time, Wednesday nights after AEW, Friday nights after SmackDown. So catch them tonight. Mm-hmm. Catch us 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, Friday nights, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted, for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Next week, it is Daniel's choice because he won the month. So he gets to choose what we're doing next week. Care to break news?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not going to be ready for this.
Uh-oh.
We're going to be doing a retrospective on WWF's Brawl for All.
Oh, my God.
To keep it our MMA kind of theme, we're doing a UFC show tomorrow. We're doing a lot of fights, so we're going to try WWF's version of mixed martial arts, the Brawl for All. One of the worst angles in wrestling history.
Oh, my
God. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about a lot of the competitors in it and, you know, Bart Gunn. We'll talk about the Butterbean stuff that happened later. We're going to go basically give a whole retrospective on the whole tournament. All the minds behind it and everything.
So we just, when we go back and watch the old episodes, we only have to watch the Brawl for Alls, right?
Yeah. That's it. We should all see the matches. That's all that matters.
Yeah. That is going to be interesting. I think suicide rate's going to go up. all right. So that's next week. So tune in tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Same channel. Eric, Daniel, and I are going to be doing a retrospective on UFC 235. The main event of that card was John Jones and Anthony
Smith,
along also Tyron Woodley
and Kamaru Usman.
Okay.
Good for trial. You also have, well, you can say this one.
Ben Askren and Robbie Lawler.
Yes.
And among others.
Yes. Those are the top three, though. Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Sunday at what, 7 now?
7, yeah.
All right. What are you doing for the Scaredy Cats?
The Exorcist. The original movie, The Exorcist.
Are you performing an exorcism while doing The Exorcist?
We'll see how crazy Mindy gets, but not right now. Nothing's planned.
Okay. Does she listen to this show? All right. I think that does it.
All right, guys. Let's get into it now. The new generation, just a little background on the new generation. This is kind of the transitional period where Vince wanted to go younger. He wanted the Bret Harts, the Shawn Michaels to make it. He was tired of the Hulk Hogans in the 80s. And, you know, the golden era is over.
Yeah. Technically, if you really think about it, like they really started to change after WrestleMania 8, which was in 1992.
Yeah.
But they still had, like, Savage was still on top. Flair was still there. You know, they still had something with Warrior, even though Warrior was only like 32, 33.
Yeah.
Warrior is actually only like 3 years older than Bret Hart. So, or no, not 3 years. Warrior, never mind. I don't know what I'm saying. But so, like, they really tried to transition because, you know, Hogan left, Piper left, Jake left after WrestleMania 8. So they really started that, but like 93 is when they really kind of went, okay, this is the direction we're going in. And 94 is when they finally gave it a name. Because, like, in the beginning of 93, a lot of guys were leaving, too. By, like, between March and May, or January and May of 93, Hogan was on his way out. Flair had left. The Nasties were gone. Boss Man left. So a lot of these guys that you counted on in the 80s, you know, they were leaving, and it was making a way for a new generation.
Which is what Vince wanted.
Yeah.
Also, WCW was older guys, but Vince was kind of cool with them taking all their talent, but he wanted to go younger. He even told Slayer, we're going younger.
Yeah, because and he didn't want to disrespect the guys that had been loyal to him. Like, because there were still guys on that roster that were loyal to Vince's father.
Yeah.
Started in 93. Like, Rick Martel and Tito Santana and Backlund was coming back.
Yeah.
So, like, Vince still had a soft spot for those guys, but he also knew, like you said, they needed to go younger, which is one of the reasons why, Sergeant Slaughter brought in a young man that I'm sure we're going to talk about by the name of Sean Waltman, the 1-2-3 Kid. It was actually Sergeant Slaughter that when Sergeant Slaughter heard Vince wanted to go younger, he went to Vince and said, I don't even think this guy drinks yet. he's not legally able to drink. He's not legally allowed to drink.
He probably was drinking.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Sarge kind of took that as, and it was actually a match. The match where Sarge discovered Waltman was actually a match between him and Sabu. It was actually, I think the match was like 30 minutes. And that's actually, Sarge attended that match. Sarge went up to him and said, I'm going to try to get you a job. Like, yeah. Sergeant Slaughter is responsible for Sean Waltman getting his WWF tryout.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get started here. It's a transitional period, not always known, you know, in the highest regard. This is when a lot of people thought that it sucked, but people forget that a lot of their best moments was from around this time.
It was a down period for the business as a whole.
Yeah, but not always the wrestling, though. They did have some good matches. They did have some really good matches. Who are you gonna, and by the way, we have our five official tiers: elite, very good, mediocre, meh, and trash.
Right.
And Stevie, just so you know, we are only judging these gentlemen for what they did in this era.
Okay.
So Austin will only get judged by what he did from 93 to 97.
Right, and the cutoff period technically is October of 1997.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. But I'll just count the whole year.
I mean, I'm just saying is that, like, I actually looked that up, and somebody said that the cutoff period was October 31st, 1997 of the new – like, the new generation era ended on Halloween. It actually is appropriate. But, yeah.
Well, I'm still counting the year 97.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not going to put a lot of Attitude Era guys in here, but we'll see what happens. Let's go, first off, a young prospect, someone that could have been the guy. Vince had high hopes for him, great look, maybe not great in the ring. What do you think of Ahmed Johnson?
Okay, you're actually starting off real good. Here's the thing. I personally believe he was looked at as a newer version of the Warrior. Yes.
Okay.
But he couldn't talk. I mean, he could talk, but, like, he, you know, he's from the streets,
yeah,
pretty much, right? So you couldn't really understand what he was saying, and he mumbled.
Which, not saying that because, like, Booker T's a great promo and everything.
Yeah.
Like, that lingo, you can use it in a good
sense. You can use it in a good sense. It's just, unfortunately, he mumbled.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Here's the thing I'll say about, he really was not great in the ring, But he had two. He had that setup spine buster.
Yeah, that
and then that Pearl River plunge. Okay, yeah. As long as you could get to those moves, he was fine. The problem is trying to have that 10-minute match beforehand.
And he is also another one of those guys that was generally looked at as unsafe, right? Guys didn't want to work with him because he would hurt people a lot.
Oh, yeah, because he hit like a shit ton of bricks.
Yeah. I heard he kind of hurt Taker almost.
Yeah, when they were supposed to work together in 97.
Yeah.
And then Ahmed actually, Taker was actually happy when Ahmed blew out his knee. Because Ahmed did something to his knee. He was going to be out for like another month.
Yeah.
And Taker was actually happy about it. Because Taker, I think, has even said, I'd rather work with Vader than work with Ahmed.
Did he say that?
Yeah. Well, he liked Vader.
Vader's awesome. The thing about Ahmed Johnson, because, yeah. I'm looking at it as a fan. And when I go and watch, you know, old New Generation stuff, he stands out. And the stuff with the Nation was good. I think it was pretty good. And you know, he was a very good, you know, mid-card babyface.
He was, and you could tell that they were going to do more with him because of the fact he won the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, and him and Farooq had a pretty good feud.
They had a really good feud. His best match, though, was when he won the Intercontinental title from Goldust.
Yeah.
That was his best match.
Yeah, that was.
And I actually liked that match, and who knows, we may end up doing that. I don't know if I want to do that show because the 25th anniversary is coming up. So we'll see. Stay tuned. It depends on what I feel like doing. But that was his best match. I didn't like him joining the Nation after feuding with them for so long. I thought it was stupid. But then again, that whole thing was, I mean, he joined the Nation only to get hurt and then get kicked out of it the day after SummerSlam. Yeah. I mean, he just...
Really?
Yeah. They turned him baby again.
And then he just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, because he was dealing with too many injuries. I mean, at one point, too, he cut his hand open during a match with The Rock, and it was just, like, his work rate was just limited. All because he cut his hand open. Because he couldn't... You know, he didn't want to make a fist to punch anymore. As far as where I would rank him, and I like the guy, okay? I thought he was very marketable.
He had that look.
Yeah, he had the look. And he had that Pearl River plunge was the shit back in.
Yeah, it was cool.
Okay? Where I would rank him, I would just say mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think,
Steve? I mean, he really never was pushed. You know what I mean?
They tried.
They tried to.
Yeah, I see what he's saying, though. He never got past that top mid card.
Right. Well, I mean, who knows? They may have. He may have had not his kidney got lacerated.
I mean, without all the injuries, you never know, but.
Yeah,
that's all we have to go on. So
right.
Yeah, I don't think I could put him above mediocre either. So I do enjoy him, and I do enjoy watching him sometimes. But
like I said, his best match was with Goldust at that King of the Ring. All right, so mediocre for Ahmed Johnson.
Mediocre for Ahmed Johnson.
I'd say mediocre.
Absolutely. Now, let's go to a man, another stable, the leader of another stable, the Bariquas. Let's talk about Savio Vega. I mean, I guess Bariquas wasn't until Attitude Era, technically, right? But whatever.
It came shortly in that era, but yeah, I mean, they're basically considered Attitude. But Savio came in 95. Yeah. Okay, so...
Savio's New Generation.
Yeah, he's New Generation. Now, are we just judging Savio, or are we going to judge his work as Quang as well? Because Quang was 94.
Yeah.
And then they took the mask off of him because Razor kind of went to bat for him.
Really? What did Razor say?
Razor's just like, this guy is way too, he's way too talented to be, you know, this.
Well, a lot of the boys like Sabio, right? Like,
yeah.
Even Triple H and Shawn liked him in the
Clique. Well, because he was technically an unofficial member of the Clique. I mean, well, no, he was actually, and Taker was a friend of his.
He was in
the BSK, but he was also friends with Scott. Until he played a prank on Scott, and then Scott wanted him fired. But he came in. He did the Quang thing. It started in 94. He was managed by Harvey Whippleman. And then he was kind of like low-level heel. You know, teamed with Adam Bomb for a little bit because Adam Bomb was also managed by Whippleman. And then they started to feud after Adam Bomb went babyface. And it just really, like, Quang just, the Quang character really just didn't click. But they kept him under that mask for a year until, like I said, Scott Hall was just like, let's take the mask off him. Because they were looking for somebody to have a strong showing in that King of the Ring tournament in 95 that was going to lose to Mabel in the final. Because Razor got legitimate. Or it may not even, I don't know if it was a legitimate injury or not. Like, he had, like, the rib injury or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was Savio's, like, big, like, introduction, really. Because he had to wrestle on a pre-match, on a pre-show, or not a pre-show, but, like, it was a match that wasn't, like, filmed, or that was filmed for home video only. With him and IRS to where he had to qualify to take Razor's spot in the tournament. And then not only did he have to wrestle that match, but then he had to wrestle Yokozuna and then the Roadie and then Mabel. So during those first couple of months, like, they actually saw, like, stuff in him. And he was really good. He's a tremendous worker. He really helped navigate Steve Austin.
The Ringmaster feud I enjoyed. Even though I know that gimmick gets shit on a lot.
Well,
him and Savio had some good matches.
Yeah, and this is when he started to become Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And they had the Caribbean Strap match, which actually, I found that to be awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was in the dark, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then they did it again.
Yeah.
They did it again, and
yeah.
It was still, that was awesome. And he actually had a really good program with Bradshaw. Because they did a Caribbean Strap match at that In Your House My Games that was in Philly.
Yeah.
With that had the Shawn Michaels Mankind match that everybody loves.
What Bradshaw were we getting at that?
Justin Hawk.
And that was a good one.
I enjoy it. I'm a fan of Savio's. He is a really good one. I mean, his promos suck.
Yeah, his promos suck, but, you know, he's Puerto Rican, you know, he's got a heavy accent.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to be able to cut a promo. And he was just so good in the ring, and he had such he had a different vibe to him than everybody else.
Yeah. And when he turned and joined the Nation, which pissed me off at that time, by the way.
Still makes no sense.
Yeah, but to be honest, I thought he was a good partner for Crush.
He was. It just didn't make sense.
Yeah, but it's just so, like, you know, they need, or go ahead, Stevie.
So why did they decide to turn him heel and join the Nation?
I personally think it was just for they needed like a big like shock like turn because they wanted to have somebody that babyface that you know could join the group and because Savio and Ahmed you know were buddies or whatever and it's just like okay he's gonna turn on him and you say it made no sense But I actually think that he fit in well. He was a good partner for Crush.
Well, yeah, it's just, but for what the Nation was supposed to be,
right.
It doesn't make sense.
I think that it's just they needed a worker, guy that could actually, because Farooq, like, he could work, but, you know, he had more of that Smash Mouth style.
Yeah.
Crush was very limited in his abilities. So they needed somebody that could work and take the bumps.
Yes. And he could. Where would we put Savio Vega?
Here's actually the thing. Here's the thing with that. I would say very good. Just because I was that big of a fan of his. Even though he was, as a babyface, just a mid-card babyface. But guess what? He helped get guys over. He got Steve Austin over that first hurdle.
He had good matches. Fans didn't like it when he was that surprise entrant, though. You remember that? Who won tag match, or was that Attitude Era?
Oh, yeah, that was when he was the DX partner, right?
Yeah, and he got booed out of the building.
Oh.
Just because he was kind of, I mean, they were expecting a big name.
Yes, and they got him. Even though that match is still, like, that No Way Out of Texas is still one of my favorite, like, pay-per-views of the year.
Yeah, it holds up.
So, no, I would say very good just because of what, you know, he was able to do. And also, you got to remember, too, he was part of that situation with Vader when Vader attacked Gorilla Monsoon. He was the one Vader beat.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So where would you put him, Steve?
I would say very good.
I think I would.
Because I liked his work. Only because I liked his work in the ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And he was entertaining. So I'd say very good.
Yeah, he's a consummate workhorse. So
a good hand, you know. He is genuinely a good hand. Next up. I should just warn the fans ahead of time because you're going to have a lot of shitty gimmicks because that's kind of what New Generation's known for.
Yeah.
One of the things. The first shitty gimmick we're going to do is a young man, before he was just incredible, there was a young man named Aldo Montoya.
The Portuguese man of war.
Is Just Incredible actually Portuguese?
No. Yeah, but they couldn't tell. He had a man. He had a fucking jockstrap over his face.
What do you think of him?
I didn't like it. Here's the funny thing. When he came in late 94, early 95, again, it was actually, I want to say Kid brought him in.
Yeah.
Or actually, no, he was already doing jobs as PJ Walker. And then Kid and Razor kind of went to bat for him and said, why don't we, you know, push him a little bit. And here's the thing. He was actually a really good babyface jobber. Could really get guys over. You know, just taking the bumps for him and having to do, like, the 3 or 4 minute match and get his ass kicked. The problem is that around this time, though, too, like 95, 96, even the babyface jobbers were somehow getting a lot of spotlight. So he was technically almost being treated, you know, like a main event babyface guy. Yeah. I mean, he got to be in the 1996 Royal Rumble, you know, and that's the first year they started doing, like, all the entrances and shit. As far as where I would put him, just because... Now, here's the thing. The Just Incredible gimmick was great. When he went to ECW, like, obviously up at the top. Here, though, I'm just going to say meh.
I'll probably go meh.
Yeah, I would say nah.
All right, let's put him in there. And another, let's go to another guy that did really well on the ECW tier list, but probably won't do as good here. Dean Douglas. kind of feel bad for the guy because he was a victim of the old Shawn Michaels fuck job. But
here's the thing: in 19, I actually just read this a couple weeks ago. When he was first in 1990-1991, they had like a huge plan for him.
Really?
Yeah, he was going to be like a rocker, not a rocker, but like he was going to have. They had this thing set up. They were going to turn him into a Bon Jovi type character. And they had everything set up for him. They created music for him. Jimmy Hart worked with him on music. But he had to leave the road because he had to go spend time. His father was dying. So he went to Vince and said, look, I got to leave the road because I can't leave my father. Like, my father needs 24/7 care. He goes, all right. He goes, when you're ready to come back, come back, and we'll continue where we left off. Well, they did not continue where they left off. The Dean Douglas thing, here's the thing. A teacher gimmick. Like, teachers are heels. Unless they're really hot and have mini skirts on. Then they could probably be babyface. But, so, like, the whole gimmick thing and giving out the F's and all that, like, you wanted to hate the guy, but you hated him for such a different reason. It's just, it wasn't a great gimmick.
No, I mean, it was Matt Stryker before Matt Stryker.
Yeah.
It was just a teacher. And I mean, he did get the shaft with the click and everything, so you feel bad for him. But I'd probably say trash.
Unfortunately, I'd say the same thing.
I would agree, trash.
All right. Our first female took the world by storm during this era. Obviously, probably isn't in well regard now, but let's talk about Miss Tammy Sitch, Sonny. She was on fire here.
You look at everything she did. Now, here's the thing. 97, she had cooled off.
Yeah. That was when Sable was kind of coming in, right?
Yeah, well, Sable came in in 96, but everybody was still paying more attention to Sonny because all Sable was
Elizabeth,
basically. Yeah, she was, you know, Mark Merrill's Miss Elizabeth. So, and so Sonny, because around that time, you know, Sonny jumped from tag team to tag team because, all right, so the storyline was, Sonny followed the tag team titles.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Body Down, she was already managing the Body Downers anyway. She got them the belts. They lose the belts to the Godwins a week before the Beware of Dog pay-per-view at a show at Madison Square Garden. So then she signs on to be the co-manager of the Godwins. Phineas was in love with her anyway. Well, then a week later, the Godwins lose on the free-for-all to Beware of Dog to the Smoking Guns. They lose the belts after Billy kisses Sonny. So now she's the manager of Smoking Guns. And then the Smoking Guns lose the titles to Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. And she basically just kind of retires as a manager. Well, she was also managing Farouk at the time when he was wearing the Spartacus helmet.
Yeah.
But then in like 97, she really wasn't doing that. I mean, she was doing like color commentary and all that.
And she was getting searched a lot on Google.
Yeah.
She was the most, internet search woman.
The most downloaded, I think it was.
Over like Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson and Cindy Margolis. Who was Cindy Margolis was a huge name at the time. She was a model that also had posed for Playboy.
She was the most downloaded woman. I have to say, at least very good, just for her. Which I mean, she paved a lot of the way for women managers. I'm not going to say she's like the OG diva because a lot of people say that. I don't know about that because she didn't wrestle, but. Well, maybe for divas, then. She is
for divas, yeah. She was the original diva.
Yeah.
Because you can't call Miss Elizabeth a diva.
No.
Miss Elizabeth was a valet.
Yeah.
And But Sonny was the original diva, and then like Sonny didn't need to wrestle. Sonny needed to be out there kind of cheering for her men.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very good too, just because of the work that she had done.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say very good.
And the payoff when the Godwins hit her with the slop bucket.
Yeah, which I can't wait till that episode of Superstars hits. Yeah. But you can tell Hillbilly Jim just did not like her.
No. Was not
no, he didn't.
All right, a guy that had kind of cooled down. His tag team partner was doing big things here. He's given me a back massage in the past. Marty Jannetty. He did the new Rockers thing.
Okay. So here's the thing. In this new generation era, 93 to 97, Marty Jannetty had three different runs.
New Rockers.
Well, no. The first one was he was getting revenge on Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Okay? And that he basically, well, because at the start of 93, him and Shawn were feuding or whatever. They had the match at the Royal Rumble 93,
yeah.
Which apparently, according to legend, Marty was drunk during the match, and Shawn was pissed. So he went to Vince, told Vince that Marty was drunk, so Marty got fired. But then Marty came back, because I guess people were vouching for him. He said, no, he wasn't drinking, Shawn's just an asshole. So he came back in May of 93, and he lasted until February of 94, because then he got fired again because there was stuff stemming from a 1990 lawsuit when he broke a guy's neck, you know, accidentally. And then he came back in September, October of 95 and lasted until December of 96. Now, February of 96, that's when they put him with Al Snow or Leaf Cassidy as the new Rockers.
That's bad.
Miserably. Basically because they were just trying to come up with something else for Marty to do. And unfortunately, it wasn't working.
You can't do the Rockers without Chuck.
Right. And I like Marty Jannetty. But I would just say, like, his run, the funny thing is that, like, if they would have kept the Intercontinental title on him for a little while, like, the only reason why they put the Intercontinental title on him was to have that shock, like, oh, my God, anything can happen on Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the same episode of Raw, though, that the Kid beat Razor. So everybody's wind was already taken out of the sails because Razor a job for this 100-pound or this 150-pound pipsqueak. So Marty, I like Marty Jannetty, but I would put him in meh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. He didn't do really anything substantial.
Yeah, I would say nah. He didn't really have that much of a great wrestling career.
And now let's go directly to Al Snow, which is Leaf Cassidy here. Al Snow didn't start till Attitude, right?
Right. And he had a brief cup of coffee as the Avatar character.
Oh, yeah, he was the Avatar as well.
Which I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember reading about it in your WWE encyclopedia, but that's about it.
Thank God for that encyclopedia.
When I was a little kid, I used to love that. He was an odd choice to replace Shawn Michaels. Like, he didn't seem like a boy toy, and he didn't even act like one. He was kind of brutal.
No, because he was basically, he was a cross between Leif Garrett and David Cassidy. Two hippie 70s characters.
It did not make much sense.
No. It was stupid, but here's the thing. When Marty got fired, which they fired Marty in December of 96 because everybody just had enough. They're just like, you know what? There's no reason to keep you here. Goodbye. But everybody liked Al. So they kept Al on because they figured Al could get good, really good matches out of people. So they used him as a jobber, but he was helping get guys over.
I mean, he was great in the ring. Al Snow was really good wrestler.
He, in your house, Final Four in 1997, when they had that Final Four Battle Royal or whatever after the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That pay-per-view, the card opened up, because it was kind of a so-so card. Like, none of the other matches, like, really were, like, worth a damn. But the card opened up with Leaf Cassidy versus Mark Merrow. And actually a better than should have been match.
Well, those are two guys that can go.
Yeah. Because Mark Merrow was still trying to find his way too.
Yeah.
Like he would tear his ACL the next night. But.
So where would you put him? I'm going to go trash. He didn't do anything.
He really didn't do anything. I like Al, but I'm going to have to say trash for Leaf Cassidy.
Maybe. I would say trash.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about somebody really good now. Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, to me, elite. You know, he's one of the standout guys, even though he never really was – well, I guess he was kind of main event, even though he wasn't. He never held the title, but he – and that's the one thing you can say about Scott Hall, I guess, but – he was so damn good. He was so damn over, and he was one of the brightest spots of this era.
One of the greatest superstars. You could probably put him in the top two or three guys to never hold the WWF or WWE title. I would say top two or three.
I mean, him and Piper.
In that list.
Yeah.
Him, Piper, I still say Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
Perfect on that list. I mean, a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but Boss Man.
Yeah.
Davey Boy, maybe. I mean, that's
Davey Boy. Yeah.
That's actually another list for another show.
Yeah,
okay. And we can get like a fan vote and all that too, because you know there's going to be a lot of people that.
Yeah.
Anyway, as far as Razor's career, Razor was basically. For the longest time, he had to be that number two or number three babyface. Like, especially when they turned him babyface in the summer of 93, which was unexpected, by the way. Because, you know, he's feuding with Kid, and then he starts this feud with Ted DiBiase, and they actually had a really good match, a really good opener at that 93 SummerSlam. Unfortunately, though, that match also broke Ted's neck to where that was actually Ted's very last wrestling match in the States.
DiBiase?
Yeah. I mean, he did some work in Japan, but he knew his neck was fucked up. But when they turned him, he was the number two or number three baby. I mean.
Yeah, he was. Right behind whoever, Sean.
It was behind Lex and Brett, I think. Because, you know, Lex and Brett were kind of.
I think he's still a little above Lex.
In terms of popularity, yeah. See, here's the thing. Everybody wanted the chain. You know, that purple vest or whatever color vest. He was very colorful, too.
It suddenly became cool to be Cuban.
Yeah.
It's just, he was so good.
Yeah, he was cool. That's what was wrestling was, especially this generation. I think a lot of people say what was missing was the cool factor.
Yeah.
And that's why they loved the Attitude Era because it became cool again.
Right.
A lot of people thought this wasn't cool. It was for little kids. But Scott Hall was the one thing that was cool. Razor Ramon, the bad guy, he was cool.
And here's one of this is very kind of critique of mine is I like guys that wear that don't just wear the same color attire every time.
Yeah.
Like that's why I was always intrigued by the Warrior because it was always different color tights.
True.
And all that. Different color paint. You know, even Sean for a time, you know, back in the 90s. I mean, of course, you know, back, you know, in the later years in like the 2000s and 2010s, like nobody color coordinates anymore. It's just one color and then that's it. Oh, no, Miz and Dolph from time to time.
Randy
sometimes. Yeah, Randy sometimes. Rude will bounce between black and red and blue, which sucks because I remember back in the TNA days, he would go black, red, blue, green sometimes. But I miss that color, like the change of the color scheme. Razor always had a different change of color scheme. I mean, I always best remember him for purple, and that purple, the Hasbro of him with the purple vest and the purple tights is still one of my favorites. It's actually the last Hasbro back in those days that I had ever, like back when they first came out, the last Hasbro that was ever bought for me.
Yeah.
Which I don't even think I still have it anymore. What are you looking for?
No.
You know, that's my favorite color scheme of his. But, you know, he did red, he did orange, he did yellow, pink, light blue, dark blue, green.
Right.
You know, light green. It goes on and on.
Yeah. Oh, he was very stylish. He also could go in between the ropes. Excellent promo. Where would you put?
I'm going to agree with you and say Elite. Because, again, he was... Look at the stuff he did with Sean. Even though I criticized it because him and Sean fucked 10 guys out of a payday, that ladder, both ladder matches.
Amazing.
Right? Absolutely amazing. The couple of times he got to work with Brett.
Awesome.
Were really cool.
Yeah.
He had matches with Jeff Jarrett, for Christ's sake.
He even had a nice program with Goldust, even though he didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, he had the nice program with Goldust. Him and IRS had really good matches, too.
Yeah.
So the list goes on and on. So, yeah, the guy, I think the guy should be Elite.
Stevie?
I would say Elite.
Absolutely. Now, one of the failed kind of things that WWF tried to do during this era, which was like... an answer to WCW. I would think it was in this era, not Attitude. Was the light heavyweight division?
It started here,
and then it kind of veered into the Attitude era, but it was never really touched upon.
I mean, they started in the summer of '97. That's when they started really kind of.
One of the flag bearers for that, and a guy that came in, and he was probably the most talented person in that division. Probably a little more known for his stuff in the Attitude era, but let's talk about Taka Michinoku.
Okay, so when he first came in, like, they started having him, like, do jobs or whatever, but then, like, towards the later part of 97, that's when he really started catching on. So, I mean, I like Taka. I think that, like, his lack of the English language kind of hurt him a little bit from connecting with the fans.
Yeah, I mean, in WCW, I think he would have been the top cruiserweight. I mean, he was
great.
He would have
because here's the thing. I don't think the WWF fans really – the WCW fans cared. I don't think the WWF fans gave a shit about the light heavyweight.
Scott Putski was not a light heavyweight. So, you can't really blame him for not the light heavyweight division.
No.
Was his match with Agula or whatever the heck, S.A. Rios?
Yeah.
Was that in the New Generation, that WrestleMania match?
No, because that was 14.
Okay, but that was a great match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
I put Taka mediocre.
I'm going to stay mediocre with you just because, like, I personally did like the guy.
Yeah. He did a little more in the Attitude Era, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say mediocre. I mean, he was a good wrestler. You know?
Yes. All right.
And plus, he had those high-risk moves, so.
Yeah, and he was kind of the introduction to that in WWE.
Yeah.
Doing the really crazy stuff.
Yeah.
let's talk about another really good wrestler, one of my favorites, the Blackheart, Owen Hart.
I personally think that he should have beat Brett for the title, not Backlund. So kind of put it, let's kind of put it like this, right? Obviously, you're blowing off the feud, kind of, and you had that cage match at SummerSlam. Obviously, Brett has to win it because the whole family's there. And that was a way to get Davey Boy back on the scene, right?
Yeah.
But then they had a rematch when they premiered WWF Action Zone, which was like a show that was would a year later become a recap show. But it was another like program that USA had kind of started because USA was basically WWF's network at the time. Yeah. Because they had, you know, they obviously, they had Raw, they had WWF Mania in the morning and on Saturday mornings, and they had WWF Action Zone on Sundays. Of course, Superstars was syndicated. But, so they had this match between Brett and Owen on the premiere of Action Zone. And it was supposed to be Owen's last chance at the title. And Owen lost because Davey Boy screwed him. I think Owen should have gotten the title from Brett then. All right, not do the thing with Backlund because, like, the Backlund thing lasted 3 days and then Diesel gets the title. So they could have done Owen versus Brett at Survivor Series in the submission match where Brett's trying to get the belt back. And then Brett gets written off because he can't beat Owen. And then that's when Owen loses to Diesel. That's how I would have booked it.
I love the WrestleMania match. Of course.
Yeah.
Love the WrestleMania match. I love a lot of the things that he did. When he turned heel, he just became amazing. The Bulldog team was phenomenal. That's some of my favorite Owen Hart. The team with Davey Boy was so damn good. And their matches with Curtis Vaughn were really good.
See, him teaming with Davey was really good, but also that odd pairing with him and Yoko.
Yeah, everyone forgets about that, but yeah, that was cool too.
Him and Yoko, and then being managed by, basically, Yoko was Fuji's manager, or Fuji was Yoko's manager, and Cornette was managing Owen.
Yeah.
Which made an awful lot of fucking sense.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Owen, to me, he was a top-level heel in this era.
100%.
Okay? I would personally put him in Elite.
I think I would go.
I would drop him down, though, into pretty good slash mediocre in the Attitude Era.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not his fault.
No. Not his fault, everything with his brother. They really wouldn't push him after that. And then they gave, I mean, he did do some cool stuff still, but any.
But this, New Generation era, this was Owen's time.
Yeah.
I mean, he won the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch that 1994 King of the Ring, which I'm not necessarily recommending it unless you want the suicide rate to go up. Owen's matches, even though, you know, like the first two weren't that long, he had really good matches with Tatanka and Kid. And the Razor match, in my opinion, like, it was just kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But it was a real good match for what we got. So, I mean, obviously that was Owen's moment. And he had three really good performances out of it. Like, that match between him and, even though it was only like 3.5 minutes long, it was still one of the better matches of the night. I'd actually say it was better than Brett's match, than his brother's match with Diesel at that pay-per-view.
And you know what I think of? I think of his match with Brett at SummerSlam 94. That was a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say Owen is elite in this era.
Yeah. I go elite too. What do you think, Steve?
I would say elite, definitely.
Absolutely. All right. The gimmick, let's talk about the executioner, Terry Gordy.
Oh, this, I don't know what the hell.
They needed something for Taker to do.
Did they feel like the whole thing was running, the whole Mankind feud was running its course?
I don't know, but this is what we got. And Terry Gordy's awesome, by the way. Terry Gordy was a great hand in territories. Great world-class hand. He's a free bird, for God's sakes.
Yeah, but the problem is that he was really getting out of shape.
And he's never really known for being in shape anyway.
He had a lot of health problems, though, I think, starting around this time.
Yeah. So what do you think, Trash?
Unfortunately, yeah. And I love Terry Gordy.
But this wasn't anything.
Yeah, this wasn't anything good. I think they tried, and I think he tried to make it work. But it just, it didn't.
All right. What do you think, Steve? Trash?
You know what? I would say trash. Yeah.
Okay. Let's put him in Trizzy then. All right. Another guy. Another really good territory hand. Really good WCW hand. Never always had the start-stop kind of little things, bad gimmicks, from the Widowmaker to the Stalker. What do you think of Barry Windham?
And also, too, in this era, Blackjack.
Yeah, he was a new Blackjack.
Too. Yeah.
I'm putting them separate, though, because I want to talk about Bradshaw separate, too. Or not, but who was the other Blackjack?
Bradshaw.
Yeah.
So are we putting them together?
No, that's why I said I want to do them separate.
Oh, you want to do the two of them? Okay,
yeah.
I gotcha.
Like, I'm going to put the Godwins together when we do the Godwins because I feel like we don't need to talk about separate
right.
Godwins.
All right, so Wyndham's deal, remember, when Wyndham came in, Wyndham started not giving a shit about his body in 93, I think it was. Because they actually brought him back to WCW in 94, and he just – his body's worse than mine now. I mean, I don't know what his body is now. Now I think he's in better shape because he actually had a heart attack like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but he, like back in 96, he was so, that's one of the reasons why they gave him the stupid Stalker gimmick. It's because they needed to cover up that body. Because they looked at him, Vince looked at him and said, or no, it was JR because JR hired him. JR looked at him and said, Barry, I love you, but we got to cover this up. Like that body, that whole body could cover up a whole TV screen. Like,
I thought the Stalker thing could have been cool.
It could have been cool, but the problem is that the original concept for the Stalker was he was supposed to stalk Stable. And as rumor has it is that one of the things they were going to have him do was they were going to have him actually kill Sable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Would not have gotten over, by the way.
No, I don't think so.
Kidnapped her or something, and then you put Mero on a revenge plot. That could have worked.
I think him and Mero would have had really good, because him and Mero did have really good matches in WCW.
Besides the vignettes, when he actually, because he wrestled at that Survivor Series with Rock.
Yeah, but he was on Rock's team, but he didn't have the camouflage face paint on.
He was called the Stalker, though, right?
Yeah. Well, he was introduced as a Stalker, but JR kept referring to him as Barry Windham.
So he was brought in. So was that a babyface then? Did they turn?
They turned him babyface. Like the vignettes were supposed to be heel.
Yes.
But then when people found out what he was going to do, there started to already be some backlash. So that's why they brought him in as babyface. Yeah. I think one of his first matches on TV was actually against Triple H.
So it was trash.
Oh yeah, no, this gimmick was awful.
Yeah, it was. Definitely trash.
Now, the new Blackjack thing was a little bit better.
But I don't know why they kept thinking that new. putting new in front of, like, new Blackjacks, new Rocker. Like, the shit didn't work.
No, it was a failed experiment, but luckily Bradshaw recovered.
Yeah, eventually, but yeah.
But when he teamed with Farooq, he was fine.
Oh, Bradshaw?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was great. This is trash, though. Put Barry in trash.
You realize we put four really good workers in trash, right?
Well, we're pushing them on the air. That's
well, luckily, the one that could really kick our ass is no longer with us.
I wouldn't say lucky.
Well, lucky for us.
All right. Billy hadn't done enough yet to do them separate. Let's do the smoking guns.
All right, a lot of people are going to disagree with me here, but I'm actually going to say, because they were the best tag team in this era, so I'm going to say Elite.
What?
Yeah.
You would put them in Elite?
I told you were going to disagree with me.
All
right, can you at least hear me out first before you sell me down the river?
Yeah.
Okay. So when they came in 93, they were basically the mid-card tag team, right? But they built themselves up in 95 and in 96. Now, the WWF tag team division in 95, 96 was ass. But they still found a way for themselves to kind of be top of that. And they still, like, they were the faces of the, you know, them and Yoko and Owen, and then obviously later on, Owen and Davey, but no, I think that they were a very elite team because their double team, that sidewinder that they did was really cool. Putting Sonny with them kind of added to them. I mean, to be honest with you, I think it was a mistake splitting them up.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I could say elite. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I can't really put them in the elite category, but I would say very good.
I go very good.
I mean,
yeah.
I'll live with that.
But they were really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very. Alrighty. Let's do another shitty gimmick. Bastion Booger.
This poor bastard.
Slash the Monk.
Friar Ferguson.
Yes.
Okay, so he really got up to that point when he came in,
yeah.
He had a really good get. Like when he was mucking Sting in Calgary, he was really good. Even when he was Norman in WCW, he was really good.
Yeah.
This here, just the Bastion Booger stuff, he was disgusting as Bastion Booger.
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah.
I never really liked that character.
Yeah, it was horrible. And to think, like, if Hasbro had stuck around, he would have gotten a Hasbro figure. Yeah. Now, he was already gone from the company for like 8 months by the time the figure was going to come out, but they felt like he was marketable. And I liked Mike Shaw, but this gimmick was just trash.
I go trash, too.
I'd say trash.
So there you have it. All right, somebody who's not trash, Mick Foley. Cactus Jack. All right, well, not Cactus, but Mankind. Obviously, he did a little more in the Attitude Era, but he started here.
Mankind and Dude Love, because we can technically kind of count Dude here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say... I'm kind of torn between Elite and Very Good.
Me too. I think he's very good here, and he gets Elite once Attitude Era.
Yeah. So he's elite in Attitude Era. He's very good here. The Mankind stuff, you know, the Undertaker feud, and then when Paul Bearer turned, and so it shocked the shit out of me.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And became a made man after that, and then he had a really good match with Shawn Michaels and teamed with Vader, and then, you know, in 97, they added that other layer to his character with Dude Love.
Yeah, I
would say very good.
I mean, even as Dude Love and Cactus Jack and Mankind, I would say very good.
All right, first manager we're going to bring up, your papa, Doug.
Oh.
Jim Cornette. Came in with Vader, did some stuff with Yoko. What do you think?
All right, so when he first started in, because he came in 93, and everybody knew that he ran Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He brought in the Heavenly Bodies, and then he became the American spokesperson for Jim Cornette. No, he was Jim Cornette. Became the American spokesperson for Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Him and Fuji together was kind of entertaining. I don't know what contest in hell he won to become the manager of Mantar. But here's the thing. I would just put him at very good. Because you could even tell he did not want to fucking be there.
Yeah, I'd say very good, though. Because he was a really good manager.
Yeah, he was. He's one of the best managers out there.
Yeah. I'd say I put him in the very good category.
All right. Put him in very good. Now let's talk about someone who kind of personified cool. Personified rock and roll. You know, just this cool, hip guy. You know who I'm thinking about, Doug?
You say Rad Radford, I'm going to kill.
No, Man Mountain Rock.
God.
You remember him?
Yeah, it was very brief.
Yeah.
All right, so for anybody that doesn't know, Man Mountain Rock was actually Max Payne in WCW. But he was kind of the victim of a string of budget cuts in WCW. And basically what had happened was he was Cactus Jack's partner, but then he had actually gotten hurt, so they put Cactus with Kevin Sullivan. That team got over, so yeah. When it came time to release some guys, Max Payne was part of that list. And then he came in 95. It was a failed gimmick. I'd say trash, even though I like Max Payne.
He played a of an air guitar.
He did.
didn't do much though yet. I'd say trash. What do you think, Stevie?
I would say trash.
All right, let's put him in trash. Well, we got to cover the guy that we played the theme song for. Some people might say he's more Attitude Era, but I disagree. I think 96 was his year. Let's talk about Goldust.
Here's the thing. 95, when he first came in, he was really good.
Yeah.
So controversial. 96, at the beginning through, like, probably summer.
Yeah.
He was awesome. But then when they turned him babyface and it kind of turned him into, like, this compassionate, you know, not the flamboyant, controversial character anymore, when they started humanizing him.
Yeah, I didn't like
they started that. Watering him down. But if we're judging by, like, the first year and a half, I would say elite. Unfortunately, by the time 97, by the time this era ended in 97, he had gone down to at least very good.
I'd say very good.
Yeah, because, I mean, and here's the thing. Like, you could make a case for him as elite, but unfortunately that case ends when he turns babyface.
I think he could have been the world champion when he was here. And he was doing all that stuff with Piper and
the Piper stuff, the Razor stuff. I mean, that match at the 1996 Royal Rumble between him and Razor was awesome.
Yeah. Razor didn't like it, but it was awesome.
Oh, well.
Even that match at WrestleMania 12 with Piper was great.
Yeah.
What would you say, Stevie, elite or very good?
To be perfectly honest, I would say probably very good.
All right. Put them in very good. Right. Now we're probably going to have to do a part two, right? We got a little bit left.
We got a little bit left, but there's a lot of guys we haven't reached on. Because there's like a shitload.
So I'm thinking we do a bit of a speed round here and then save a part two.
Yeah.
When the rest of the fellas are on.
Yeah, because I think they're going to be a little sad that they missed this.
All right.
Because this actually turned out to be a lot better than I think they probably thought.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Steve, you know the speed round.
Yep.
Give me a sentence a little bit. We don't have to really go into stories like we've been. But I'll name a guy and just kind of, where would you put him in maybe a sentence about?
Okay.
Matty Donis as a tag team.
Mediocre.
Mediocre.
Off was okay, but mediocre.
You agree, Steve?
Yeah, I agree. I would say mediocre.
Okay. Jeff Jarrett.
I'm actually going to say very good. I know
I
a lot of
like Jeff. I actually like Jeff Jarrett, so I'd probably say very good.
And what were you saying, Doug?
A lot of people would disagree with that, but I'd say very good because he was a very good placeholder for that Intercontinental title.
Yeah, he was a great heel too.
Yeah,
people hated him. Righty then. Damian Demento.
Trash.
Really? You're putting Dan Spivey in trash?
You know what?
It was Waylon Mercy.
I'd say mediocre.
Damian Demento?
I wouldn't really put him in trash.
So Stevie's taking a bullet for Damian Demento.
Yes.
It's just because Stevie's going out on a limb, I'm putting him in. I'll put Damian in the mediocre.
Now I gotta look him up. The bald guy. Okay.
He actually became the host of a kid show.
Good for him. He technically, well, I guess he's Golden Era. Technically, he's New Generation too, right?
Yeah, because he lasted through. He was done by June of 93.
All right. And the guy that I meant to talk about, my bad, this is a long time. I wasn't even born yet, so I deserve a little slack to be cut. Waylon Mercy. Dan Spivey. I thought that character was cool. They didn't do
it. Yeah, it was a very cool character, but the problem is they cut the legs off too soon.
Well, the thing is the promos where it was like early Bray Wyatt almost.
Yeah.
But Spivey sucked in the ring at this point because he was old.
He couldn't move.
Yeah.
He couldn't move, and that was the problem. So I'd say, I would just say meh.
Yeah, I would say nah.
Yeah, I'd say meh, too. All right, put him in meh. Kama Mustafa.
Okay, so there's two different versions of Kama. There's that Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine, when he was part of Ted DiBiase's Million Dollar Corporation, which was kind of cool.
He was basically a UFC fighter.
Yeah. And which is appropriate that we're bringing him up. But there's also Kama from the Nation of Domination, which he joined in June of 97. Together, I would say that he was... I like Kama, so I'd actually say very good.
I'd have to go mediocre.
Okay.
Well, what do you think, Stevie?
You know what? I'd probably say very good.
I'm all voted. Would have been very good. All right, couple more here before we head out. Who else we got? We got so many more.
Yeah, and that's why we have to do a part two, because some of these, if we do any of the big names in the speed round, we're going to get shot.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm trying to just fuck. The Brooklyn Brawler.
He was a good jobber. I mean, I would say middle or, you know, mediocre.
Yeah, I would say mediocre.
Yeah, I'd go mediocre. Harry Runnels.
Marlena,
yeah.
Back then, when she first started out and she kind of had that mystery about her, she was fucking hot.
Is there a tear for that fucking hot?
I don't want
to. We'd put her a very...
For what she turned out mediocre. But from what she started very good.
Let's go very good. What do you think, Stevie? She's a good manager.
Yeah, I would say very good.
All right. Sparky Plug Bob Holly.
I can't be too mean to him because I liked him. But the problem is he had, especially around this time, even though he was kind of, you know, being looked at as a main event babyface and was being paid as such, he was just mediocre.
Yeah, you know what? I really never liked the Sparky Plug character that much. So I would say mediocre.
Yeah, let's go mediocre. I agree. What's another bad gimmick? There's so bad. Oh, Isaac Yank and DDS. Pete Kane.
Yeah, poor fat. I would say meh. I mean, because his ring work was really good.
I mean, the match with Brett was good, but the gimmick was just so stupid.
Yeah. And it's when they had the cage match on Raw.
You know what? I would say nah. The whole dentist character, it just wasn't, like, worth watching to me.
I agree. Bull Nakano.
She was a really good women's wrestler. I'd say... But I'd say middle of the road just because they didn't care about women's wrestling back at that time.
Yeah, middle of the road.
I would say middle of the road.
All right. And we're going to actually stop the speed round for now, and we are going to talk about two more big names.
We're going to end it on two big ones?
Yeah, but we're going to have some conversation. It's not speed round, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of those people I want to talk about first. Yokozuna. I love Yoko.
I cannot say anything bad about Yoko. And in this era, this new generation era, he was the top heel until from 93 up until the end of 94 when they had to write him off for a little while. And then, you know, he kind of cooled off because they didn't want to push him as a main event guy because of the weight problems. But he was like the flag bearer for a long time. I'd say elite.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'd probably go elite, too.
Yeah, I would say elite.
I mean, just everything about him. Like, he was the top heel. Like, he had this aura, even though, like, he was bigger, he was chubby, obviously, but he looked menacing. Like, he was scary. And, you know, he took out Hulk Hogan. I guess that's Golden Age, technically. When he injured Hogan, and then Hogan left. Or is that technically new generation?
Yeah, that was June of 93.
Okay. So, I mean, he started the era by doing that, and then his matches with Brett were amazing.
Yeah.
Even the matches with Lex were good.
I like the stuff he did with Lex. I really liked his chemistry with Undertaker, to be honest with you.
Yes, him and Undertaker had... We're going to finish this out with one man, and I think this is probably... the only man that we could end this list with. I'm not going to do Eric's boy. I'll save Eric's boy for when he's on.
Right.
But when I think of new generation, I think of Bret Hart.
Yes. And the reason why is because this generation was built for him.
Yes. He was the top babyface the whole time. I mean, Shawn was there.
Shawn was there, and then, you know, they did this thing with Diesel.
Yeah.
All right, so if you look at it like this, all right, so I have one, so you got my one hand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously for anybody that can't see me, Daniel can, I got my one hand in front, and on one hand, basically, I'm going to basically say, like, who the top baby faces were. Yeah. You got Bret. You've got Undertaker, then Razor, then Diesel when he turned. And then you would probably say, like, that fifth babyface would probably be Lex. And if it wasn't Lex, it would probably be when he was babyface. I would almost put the Tonka up there.
Until
they made the stupid-ass mistake of turning the Tonka heel, which I still don't agree with. But we'll get into that in a part two. But Bret was the new generation. I'm going to say Elite just because of what Bret carried the company. Bret basically carried this company on his back when the ship was sinking. But he was going to go down with the ship.
Yeah. And he always, like, with class and dignity, and he always seemed like the guy, you know, even though he was shorter, he wasn't a Hogan, but he was the flag bearer for the company.
Yeah.
He was WWF.
Look at the matches he had with guys. Yoko, King, the SummerSlam match he had with Doink before he wrestled Jerry Lawler.
The Austin matches. Not even WrestleMania, but the Survivor Series.
The Survivor Series match.
Which is my favorite, to be honest.
Yeah. It was a really good match. The Isaac Yankum matches, like we mentioned. He made fucking Jean-Pierre Lafitte look really good.
Yeah. Okay. Money, right?
No, Carl. PCL.
Okay.
Let's see. Who? I mean, Diesel, when they met at that Survivor Series.
You mentioned Kid. Right? Him and Kid had some...
Him and Kid on that Raw.
That was a great match.
Oh, my God. July, I think it was July 11th of 94. If we get close to the anniversary, we might have to review that Raw.
That'd be dope.
But him and Kid, obviously him and Owen. The only person he had bad matches with was Backlund. That WrestleMania equipment sucked.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that's his fault.
Hakushi, Undertaker, the list goes on and on. Yeah.
Could have been some.
And I'm sure we'll talk about him in part two, right?
Yeah, definitely. Elite. Bret Hart is elite.
I got to say that.
Stevie, what do you think?
I'd say elite.
All right. And with that being said, that is going to conclude our list for part one. We have a lot of guys. We're still going to get into the Shawn Michaels, the Diesels, the Undertakers.
So what if we do, like, part two, like, next month?
Let's do it.
So, like, we'll give it a few weeks to kind of digest. Like, we won't do it this month, but we'll do it in June.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
So that way we can, you know, get to it. And so that way we don't just put it on the back burner.
Yeah. No, I definitely want to.
Yeah. Because this was fun, and I kind of want to... I know Clinton knows a little bit about New Generation. And
yeah.
Eric does too.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to get their thoughts on it because there's a lot of guys we didn't touch on.
Yeah.
But some of the guys, all right, so who we did touch on, and we put a lot of people in very good.
Yes, we did.
All right, so in Elite, we have Razor Ramon, Owen Hart, Yokozuna, and Bret Hart, which we may take some flack for on two of the four. I think a lot of people may not agree with Razor and Owen.
For Elite?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, I really don't care. I'm just saying, all right. And very good, and this is where we're definitely going to take the flag. Savio Vega, Sonny, The Smoking Guns, Mankind Flesh, Dude Love, Jim Cornette, Goldust, Jeff Jarrett, Kama Mustafa, and Marlena. And somehow I think we're getting roasted by Hawaiian pigs. Hawaiian pigs for that. We're not getting roasted by Hawaii.
That'd be weird.
They'd be taking their revenge. Mediocre, we have Ahmed Johnson, Takamichi Noku, the Body Donnas, Damian Demento, who Stevie used his one save on. Brooklyn Brawler, Bob Sparkplug Holly, and Bull Nakano. And man, we have Aldo Montoya, Marty Jannetty, Waylon Mercy, Isaac Yankum, DDS. And in trash, we have Dean Douglas, Leif Cassidy, The Executioner, Barry Windham, Bastion Booger, and Man Mountain Rock.
So it's a pretty good list so far.
So far, yeah. But yeah, so next month we'll keep everybody posted on the date. But yes, in June we will tackle this again.
We will not do another tier list before finishing this.
That's bold. I mean, that's it's the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll do this because this was actually, I've been waiting a long time to do this. We delivered.
Yeah.
Next week is Brawl for All, which I think that's going to be another deliver.
Yeah. No, that's going to be
great. Oh my God.
It's a different, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. And then, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to do Judgment Day 2000. The Triple H Rock Iron Man. I know you've been waiting for that.
Yeah.
When I first said that that's what I wanted to do, you were praying that show was going to be put on Peacock right away. You're like, I ask you, Lord, I ask you.
And they did. All right, guys. Stevie, this was awesome. Doug, thank you.
No problem.
And we will see everybody next week.
Later, Stevie.
Later, Stevie.
Yep, later, later.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look. The drive, the cool. While I've got the moves that really move 'em. I said, chill.